Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, hey, where you been? Buckeye Talk is about to begin. Hey, 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 come on in.
Welcome back to Buckeye Talk. I'm Nathan Baird from Cleveland.com along with Stephen Means, and we just got back from Value City Arena, the Schottenstein Center, where we were at the press conference for new Ohio State men's basketball coach Jake Diebler. And obviously it's been a process to get to this point, Chris Holtmann being fired, about 6 weeks ago, and midway through the Big Ten season. And Ohio State then instituted a search, and it led them to a guy who has been in the building the whole time, and the guy who led the team to a 6-1 record before then a loss in the Big Ten tournament, so 6-2, and did seem to light a spark under this team. And today at the arena, there was sort of to make sort of a pep rally feel in some ways. I walked in, and there were cheerleaders there giving away posters of Jake Diebler. And obviously a moment where they're trying to, get some energy going. And Diebler did that, obviously, and the team did that on its own, the way that it finished the season. But, Stephen, we talked to Jake Diebler at length. We talked to Ross Bjork, the new athletic director, at length. Gene Smith also chimed in. He was there more today as sort of an MC. But what was the thing that maybe you wanted to know the most or have confirmed, or however you want to say it, as to why Ohio State moved forward with this promotion rather than what we speculated at the time would be a national search where you could sort of name your price a little bit and go out and try to land a experienced, well-known big fish?
I think the big question when you do something like this, because this is not the first time a coach has been fired in the middle of the year and his assistant coach has to take over, and immediately you see a bump and a spark in that team's play, right? It's actually almost common in college basketball to see, just basketball in general, to see that, because it's a new voice in there and you want to finish things out strong. It's almost this moment of, oh, our season is a failure, but let's try to make the best of it. And that's what it felt like, him finishing out the year 6-2, getting to the quarterfinal of the Big Ten tournament, and quite frankly, probably being a win or two away from getting into the NCAA tournament. At least there are some people who think that maybe they deserved it more than Michigan State did, given their resumes as two Big Ten teams. But they don't get in. They're playing in the NIT. This is a Tuesday pod, so as you're listening to this, Ohio State's going to be playing Cornell at home in the first round of the NIT tournament on Tuesday night in the Schottenstein Center. But I think there's two things at play here. And Patrick Murphy asked one half of it, and the other half I asked Ross Bjork, but then also had a conversation with him afterward. There's, when that spark happens, how do you not get caught up in that excitement and still make the right decision? And I think Ross Bjork did a great job of breaking that down, both when the televised part that I think some of you maybe saw, and then when we got him off to the side of being boots on the ground. He mentioned he was on a sabbatical when Gene Smith called him and told him that he was going to be making this decision to fire Chris Holtmann. It's like, hey, you get to lead a coaching search right now. You're not even officially the athletic director yet, but go ahead, start that process. And there were outside candidates. But the fact that Ross Bjork got to see it up close and personal. Whether you're talking about the way they closed out the season, maybe beating Purdue and they had that upset, Purdue, a top three team in the country, the way the season played out, going 5-1 to close out the year, you know, getting to the Big Ten tournament, beating Iowa, which is another upset because they were a 10 seed, Iowa was a 7 seed, and then the way the game played out against Illinois, but also what he was seeing in practices. He said he sat down with every single player individually and had conversations with them, and the conversation wasn't, hey, give me names. It was give me criteria, which he obviously mapped out when he talked to us on Monday what that criteria was. But when he started to look at things from a micro level, because he got a chance to be boots on the ground and see things, he saw a special trait in Jake Diebler while also seeing an opportunity to keep some continuity at a time when, quite frankly, college basketball, we talk about college football in the wild, wild west, that can be sometimes with the transfer portal and NIL. College basketball is that them some, because you're dealing with less players and there's already hundreds of guys already in the portal. So if you had a way to find the guy who matched all the criteria you were looking for while also continuing to build on what the foundation is at Ohio State, that's why you end up pulling the trigger on a guy like Jake Diebler.
So in the second half of this discussion, we're going to get into a lot more about Ross Bjork and how he got to this decision, because I think it's kind of a risky one for his first big decision, and I have some thoughts about what this is, and we can discuss that then. But let's talk more about who Jake Diebler is, and people are obviously already familiar with him, having been on staff here for the past few years. But why do you think this could be the right fit? Today, Ross Bjork, I think, was even mentioned something along the lines of how he thinks his youth could be an asset. That's obviously what you always say when you're hiring a young coach. What's, just to give people an idea how he has fit into this program, what has he been for this program now for the past few years under Chris Holtmann, and what he does that now needs to carry over to being a successful head coach?
Yeah, so obviously he showed up in 2019 as an assistant coach after being at Vanderbilt for some time. I think he was actually, his last year at Vanderbilt was the year Darius Garland was there and only played 5 games, but he played a huge role in that development and behind the scenes and why Darius Garland ended up being a top 5 draft pick to the Cleveland Cavaliers as a one-and-done prospect there. He was here at Ohio State before he went to Vanderbilt, and after he left Valparaiso, he was a video coordinator under Thad Matta. He played a big role behind the scenes in helping Aaron Kraft become a National Defensive Player of the Year, D'Angelo Russell helping turn him into a top 3 draft pick in the NBA draft. So he's got a relationship with Ohio State. And then obviously the biggest thing here is his brother John Diebler played for Ohio State as a prominent shooter from 2007 to 2011. So like the heyday of the Thad Matta era, the Dieblers have been a part of in some way or another. So he gets to Ohio State in 2019 as a Chris Holtmann assistant and immediately has probably the biggest impact of anybody Chris Holtmann had hired here during his time as head coach. If you look at we talked about a lot, those 2022 and the 2023 recruiting classes, you put together back-to-back top 10 recruiting classes. A lot of those guys are Jake Diebler. Jake Diebler was the lead recruiter for a lot of the guys who are on the roster right now. And so in some ways, Chris Holtmann, his most talented recruiting classes, he has Jake Diebler to thank for that, while also he has become behind the scenes maybe a prominent guy in developing backcourt players. Bruce Thornton obviously had a breakout year in year two here as one of the better guards in the Big Ten, even if the year didn't always look so well from a team aspect. So from that standpoint, I think it makes sense. If you're going to hire within, it's going to be a guy who has Jake Diebler's resume in terms of what he's already meant to the program. In terms of a lot of these guys, when you talk about losing a head coach, typically you might lose guys who signed up to play for that head coach, but they also signed up to play for Jake Diebler. And he has, behind the scenes, had a proven track record of what he can be as a developer. And now can he just run a full-time program by himself?
Russ Bjork said today that he felt watching Jake Diebler work that he had outcoached some of the guys he was going up against there in that 8-game stretch. I don't know. He didn't mention anybody by name, but there were some, you know, Matt Painter was in that stretch. Fran McCaffrey, as you mentioned, was in that stretch. Some of the more veteran coaches in the Big Ten were guys that they went up against. Did you see any of that from Jake Diebler, from Ohio State or from Jake Diebler, as you were watching them over that final 8-game stretch after he took over as the interim head coach?
I don't know about the out-coaching part, because that's, I mean,
That's a subjective. That's I mean, you know, it's
yeah, that's a subjective thing. But I do think what I saw from Ohio State was a different type of offense. And we've talked about this at times in the past where it felt like Ohio State's offense was stagnant. It could be good, and it was quality, and KenPom numbers typically would back that up over the last 4 or 5 years here, but it felt stagnant. And it didn't always feel like the talent on the roster was being used the right way on the court all the time. It's like, hey, you've got these explosive guards who can make plays for themselves and for others, and instead you're dumping it down to big men time and time and time and time again. You have this – Roddy Gale and Bruce Thornton, I think, were one of the best backcourts in the Big Ten this year, and I didn't always feel like they were used correctly. And I also just didn't feel like that didn't carry this team the way it should have been carrying them under Chris Holtmann. And I'm trying to taper that because you don't want to just bag on a guy when he's gone, but that's the truth of the matter. Because the Bruce Thornton we saw once Jake Diebler took over as head coach, I mean, look at his last two games here. I mean, Jameson Battle was one thing. Bruce Thornton, 5 assists against Michigan, 6 assists against Rutgers, 9 assists against Iowa, 10 assists against Illinois. It just felt more free-flowing. While under Holtmann, you've covered Big Ten basketball before. You know all the gripes people have about Big Ten basketball and how it feels archaic and how it doesn't always very rarely translate to the NCAA tournament when your guard play is important and the Big Ten doesn't always put that on the pedestal it maybe should be on. It felt like Jake Diebler brought Ohio State's basketball's offense into the 21st century in terms of they looked ready to play in an NCAA tournament. So if this has been a sneak preview of what this is going to look like under Jake Diebler, it's like, hey, we're still going to recruit high-level guards. We're still going to develop them, but also we're going to use them on game days. Then I think that's something fans can get excited about because Chris Holtmann, Tom Izzo, like this whole era of Big Ten basketball has felt archaic. And it feels like Ohio State has now gotten ahead of the curve with a coach like Jake Diebler. Even though, yeah, there's plenty of reasons to be skeptical about this, and I'm sure we'll get into this on this pod, but at least the approach we saw from Jake Diebler's version of Ohio State's offense over the last 8 games here looks like something that when you get to March in the NCAA tournament, they're not going to flame out in the first or second round.
Jake Diebler is an Ohio guy. You know, family ties deep in the state, comes from a coaching family, won a state championship as a player in that arena that we had the same press conference in today, announcing him as the head coach. His brother, obviously, as you said, being an Ohio State player who many of us remember, it wasn't that long ago that he was knocking down threes in Big Ten play. And do you think that matters? I know there's always this debate, like if things aren't going well and there isn't an Ohio guy in charge of any sport, then there's always seems to be a call for, well, we need an Ohio guy, or you need more Ohio guys. And if things aren't going right on the football, you know, if you haven't beat Michigan in a while, it's like, why isn't everybody a Michigan or an Ohio State alum? And I think sometimes that gets used as an excuse and that people can make too much of it because there have been plenty of, you know, Thad Motto was from Hoopston, Illinois. He was not from Ohio. You can have a lot of success here. Urban Meyer, I guess, you know, he was from around here, but plenty of coaches have gone places and won a lot and not been from that state. So do you think it matters? And if it, then and why would it matter that he is an Ohio guy?
It matters because he's from an Ohio guy and because Ross Bjork has made sure time and time again to say Ohio native. He said that in the press release and he said it multiple times on Monday. To compare it to football in this situation, Ryan Day's not from Ohio, but Ohio State's football team is still pretty good. It's just Michigan was really good as well these last couple of years. It's not because Ryan Day grew up in New Hampshire that Ohio State has lost to Michigan the last couple of years. I think it is important to have that element present on your staff and in your program. I don't think it necessarily has to be the head coach. It helps. It's a good bonus, right, that Jim Tressel was an Ohio guy, that Urban Meyer was an Ohio guy, because they get it already. They're not having to learn it along the way. But as long as it's represented, whether it be because of somebody else on your staff or because your programs, your players are a lot of Ohio guys, because that, like you mentioned, that model's from Illinois, and he came from Butler. So he didn't have Ohio ties, but you know what he did have? He came to Ohio State at a time when Ohio basketball talent took a huge swing upward. Jared Sullinger, we just mentioned John Diebler, William Buford, Aaron Kraft, right? These are Ohio guys who were at the center of some of that and plus an NBA player in Greg Oden and Michael Conley, who was a multi-time All-Star. But Ohio guys were at the center of what people remember most about the Thad Matta era. So if you're not going to have a head coach as an Ohio guy, then you maybe need to have an assistant coach like that, which Ryan Day has done on the football end, right? He's got plenty of former players on his roster. There's plenty of Ohio people in the building who, not just on the assistant coaching staff, but the support staff and the weight staff and everywhere else. John Diebler being from Ohio and getting it the way he gets it means that element is already checked off the list. But also, what's the talent look like in Ohio? That's the more important thing. Do you have great players in Ohio who are willing to stay home? And in this 2025 class, they have two guys, especially one, Junie Mobley. He's not playing in Ohio, but he's from Columbus. He's a top 50 recruit. If you have that, then I don't like to put too much onus on, because your head coach wasn't born or raised in Ohio, that he doesn't get it. Just somebody has to get it in the building. I do agree with that, though.
So of the things that Jake Diebler had going in his favor, and I don't know if you would make a decision that's this short-sighted, but roster retention is an issue. Now, you've got the transfer portal that opens up. It actually opened up as soon as they fired Chris Holtmann, but it opens again at the end of the season. From the football period that we went through, I still had the alerts on my phone for the NCAA transfer portal thing, and it's just been exploding all morning. I finally had to shut it off because the football one doesn't open again for another 6 weeks, and I don't care about these guys going in the transfer portal from Canisius or Incarnate Word or even my alma mater, UIC. There's like four or five guys in the portal for the Flames. Oops. So it's busy. It's going. And Ohio State obviously has a game on Tuesday. We haven't mentioned that, but NIT game against Cornell at Value City Arena. Is that right? Is it Cornell or Columbia?
Cornell.
Cornell. Okay. I thought so. Getting my Ivies confused momentarily. If they win that, they would play again Saturday. So that alone keeps this team together in this interim period. In this sort of like transitional period, I guess you would say. What is your read on the likelihood that the most important players stay with Ohio State? And do you think that Jake Diebler's hire makes that more likely?
So I think of the people we saw late in that Big Ten tournament, young talent who I think has high ceilings, I think Devin Royal probably stays. He's also from Columbus. I mean, he's from Pickerington Central. In fact, him and Sonny Styles won a state championship together during their junior year before Sonny Styles decided to reclassify and show up a year early. So cool. Just some connections there, football and basketball. I think the other people, if they had brought in an outside hire, I think I would have been on alert for maybe 50% of this roster enters the transfer portal, maybe even higher. I'm not saying it would have happened, but I don't think I would have been shocked by it. But I think Jake Diebler staying, like I mentioned before, because he recruited a large percentage of these highly rated guys, they're probably more willing to get behind it. Now, these are conversations that obviously are going to continue to need to be had here. But I think that's a great way. It was a good way to tamper the number. If there's going to be anybody, it probably would have been much higher than it's probably going to be had you went with anybody else, unless you got a Hall of Fame head coach out of the blue, like, you know, maybe Jay Wright came out of retirement or something like that. But I think the relationships that have already been built there, mixed with both of the guys in the 2024 class, Junie Mobley and Colin White, already have publicly reaffirmed that they're staying committed to Ohio State and they are going to show up this summer. I think Jake Diebler helped ease some of that idea. Plus, they did it quickly. Ross Bjork, he mentioned that a couple of times, how much sense of urgency they needed to have with a decision like this. And he said this a couple of times, how many jobs open this year, this offseason, right? You know, you don't want to move too quickly just in case the option you want is still out there, but you also don't want to move too slow and be left with nothing. So I think he said that he was keying on this weekend to potentially have an idea of where he was going to go next, so they could communicate this with a lot of the players.
He mentioned, like, he was asked, like, when did the light bulb go off for you that Jake Diebler was the guy? And it wasn't in Minneapolis, right? It was before it got to that point.
Yeah. It was the Purdue game, and watching how things operated, he said he went to a practice You know, he talked with a lot of the players at that time period, but just seeing how this worked on a day-to-day basis with Jake Diebler at the front of things, he was like, okay, there might be a little something here. He used the word wherewithal a lot. It seems like wherewithal is one of his favorite words. But before he saw it on game days, he was seeing it behind the scenes with some of the work Jake Diebler was doing on the recruiting end, but then also getting a chance to see it up close and personal, how it was operating, how the team was responding to him in practice, how practices were being run, and all of that other stuff. Because we're talking about keeping the roster together and the familiarity that comes with that, and you know, roster retention. All of that was maybe a bonus to, does this guy do all this other stuff that you need from your head coach to do?
The last thing I want to leave on with, though, there was a big presence today. There were basically three sets of chairs, and there was one for the extended Diebler family. There was one for the media, and then there was one for, mostly it was former Ohio State basketball players. There were a couple other people sprinkled in there. Brian Schottenstein from the Foundation, which is the NIL arm that is most linked with the basketball program. Ryan Day was in that gaggle of people. A couple other, you know, notables, but mostly former basketball players. And that was something that came up a lot. Like Gene Smith recognized the former basketball players, and and Jake Diebler did as well. And I think, and Ross Bjork, I think, was also talking about, you know, reaching out to former players and hearing what they wanted in a new coach or the next coach, and their opinion that Jake Diebler met that criteria. Why do you think that is such a big factor at this stage of Ohio State's program? Just because, on the one hand, I think that, as we've seen with football, frankly, if you follow that on social media, that's where an emotional component can come in too. That players who actually aren't even in the middle of what's going on right now have their expert opinions about things. And sometimes those have more basis in reality than others. At the same time, these are the people who were in that program during that time when Ohio State was what it now wants to be. Ross Bjork was asked, what is the standard for Ohio State basketball? He said, competing for Big Ten championships. And if you're doing that, that by default means you're competing to go to Final Fours. That the teams that win the Big Ten championship should be in the mix to go to Final Fours. Which is kind of true. If you look back over the last, I don't know, 15 or so years, Wisconsin, Michigan, etc. So Michigan State, obviously. So why do you think it was, did it impact you that there is this support for Jake Diebler, who is not, I mean, he's not an outsider. They knew him, I guess, because of John, and he knows in the family, and obviously he's been around the program the last 5 years, but that sort of basketball family, why do you think that had such a resonance here? Do you think that is a legitimate reason to, or should be a legitimate factor in why they chose him?
Bjork said that Ohio State's basketball program is a blue blood type program, and now we just have to be consistent, which I don't know if I would put them on the same tier as some of the blue bloods, but I do understand the concept of what he's getting at there in terms of they should be knocking on that door and not the door they're knocking on right now. I think that's a fair way to put it, which I can respect that. To answer your question, players know, right? They always know. Just to quote Ross Bjork again, either you have the wherewithal or you don't. If you break down the moves made during games, the out-coach coaches that have been doing this for a long time. But he also brought up the born-the-coach mentality and what's coming down the lines in terms of the state talent. The born-the-coach mentality. The Diebler family is well-known in high school basketball in Ohio. That's a well-known basketball family. His father was what John was during his college career. Jake didn't necessarily have the same college career that John had, but he was still quality. And if you look at Ohio high school basketball record books, both Diebler brothers are in there in a lot of different places. And so players know. Do they always articulate it the right way? Of course not. As you mentioned earlier, from the football standpoint, how sometimes they can have some opinions that can sometimes, you know, tread on no different than what a fan would say, right? But they know when it's real. And I think Ross Bjork said a lot of words today, but a lot of it kept boiling down to, I know what it looks like when it's that. Players know what it looks like, and it's that. And it's he talked about it with Ryan Day when we first got Ross Bjork during his press conference as well. I know what it looks like. when it's a dude who might be a dude at this. And he talked about Jake Diebler a lot in that same sense. And I was, every so often when Ross Bjork was talking, I would just peek over at the players because, you know, just see how they're like in it. They're like, yeah. J.J. Sullinger's like, yeah. Terrence Dowles is like, yeah, this is what we needed. And so now let's see if it translates, right? Because, you know, just because you have it doesn't mean that you can execute it when you get onto the basketball court or onto the football field or anything else. But there does seem to feel this sense of he comes from a family that if you're a former player here, you know very well that family, when it comes to basketball, can equal success. And so if I know that already, and then I know Jake, and I can look at this guy and see a guy who just might have that it factor that Ross Bjork kept hinting at time after time during his press conference, then it's a huge swing, right? You're almost swinging for the fences coming off of what Ohio State is coming off of to go with a guy who's only even been in the coaching game for a decade, never been a head coach anywhere, and this is actually only his second major conference job in general, and you're going to go, that's our new head coach. But I think his makeup, the family that the Diebler family is within Ohio and what that can mean for recruiting, the way things look towards the end of the year here, the fact that, like I said, players know, and when they can look at a guy and see a potential dude, you have to take all of that information into account, plus the reality of what college basketball is today, and that's how you end up with this decision.
So that's what we thought of the Jake Diebler side of things today. We're going to come back from break where we talk a little bit about Ross Bjork and kind of the greater picture of this is his first hire and what it's going to mean going forward for Ohio State's new AD here on Buckeye Talk.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Yeah, so I didn't want to be the turd in the punch bowl right up front, but I have nothing against Jake Diebler, obviously, but I was surprised by this hire. I was surprised that they got to this point, even with the way the team played down the stretch. And it's why I think it is going to be, it is kind of a risky proposition for Ross Bjork. Not risky, but there's the potential here for an opportunity lost. So I'll go on my little rant here, and you can tell me where I'm wrong. So they win 6 of 7 after the firing of Chris Holtman. Mm-hmm. But why was Chris Holtman fired? Chris Holtman was in part fired because this program was underachieving to a significant extent. The first game they played was Purdue at home and beat them when Purdue was, I think, number 2 in the country. And Purdue only lost 4 games this season so far. And I had, obviously, having come from Central Indiana before here, I immediately a text thread of some friends that I have, a Purdue partisan chimed in and said, oh, typical Purdue losing games late in the season to teams that aren't even going to the tournament. And I was the one that had to chime in and say, no, man, like this, Ohio State's better than its record. That's why they just fired Chris Holtman. And at the time, I thought it was, if you're familiar with the term, a dead cat bounce, that's a term that you see in like finance or politics that sometimes that even a dead cat will bounce when dropped from a great height. So sometimes when you see a spike in the numbers after something has been has kind of hit rock bottom, that doesn't necessarily mean that it's on its way up. Now, 6-1 is better than that. 6-1 does tell you that I think he did inject something into the program. But I also think that some of that was regression to the mean after a program that was clearly more talented than that just wasn't putting it together for whatever reason. And it's like, do you want to say it was more Jake Diebler coaching it that brought that out, or more Chris Holtmann coaching it that kept it subdued for whatever reason? I don't know, but it seems like some of both. Wasn't Jake Diebler around for how much this program underachieved for the better part of the last 5 years? Like, yeah. why that always like rubs me a little bit the wrong way. It's not that a coach retired and you handed it over to his handpicked assistant. This isn't Bo Ryan and Greg Gard. This isn't Gene Cady and Matt Painter. This isn't like Times or whoever. Tom Izzo is probably going to someday hand things over to his Mike Krzyzewski and John Shire. Like we've seen many times, like a successful coach hands things over. You fired a coach and you ended up keeping a guy from his staff. And I find it weird that all of a sudden the fact that he was around for those 5 years doesn't seem to come up now, and that he was very integral to this team's underachievement for that stretch. That somehow 7 games wipes that away. Now, those same 7 games, if they had kept Chris Holtmann and he had won 6 out of 7, would he have kept his job? I don't know. But it does seem to factor in Jake Diebler's favor more heavily than all of the previous tenure. And he was the guy in charge, but he was here for it. And it seems like there's like that zero part of the equation right now. Also, so you fired Chris Holtmann when you did. You paid a $13, $14 million buyout. Now that does get offset by whatever he's going to make at DePaul. We don't have those numbers. They're a private school. They don't have to publicly disclose those numbers, but it's going to offset, I would imagine, quite a bit of what he was owed by Ohio State. Yeah. So it's not really the financial commitment, but the reason you did it was to get a head start to make those 49 calls, and you ended up with a guy already on staff. And it, like, so I'm very curious to find out someday as these things trickle out over time sometimes, was there just not the level of interest from the kind of coach that would have been a no-brainer, and that once you got down to a certain level, that the difference between some of the names that we heard out there and Jake Diebler is significant. The difference between Jake Diebler and like Dusty May is not, I don't think. I think he did a great job at FAU and got my wild pick of the Final Four team to the Final Four last year, which was a lot of fun. I think that was the only Final Four team I had right, so I'm not bragging. But then has him back in the tournament again this year. He's doing good things. But it's also one of those things where he really hasn't shown he could win at Ohio State any more than Jake Diebler has. So I get it. I was surprised because I thought this was a point where with Ohio State's resources and the fact that you had back-to-back top 10 recruiting classes, the cupboard isn't bare here, that you would be able to bring in someone who saw this not as a stepping stone job, but like someone who is like, oh, they just, something was wrong. I can come in. I can make those same adjustments that Jake Diebler has done or supposedly done and take it to another level. And not only that, but I have proven I know how to build a program. Like they could have hired somebody like that, a name, but more than a name, more than just winning the press conference, because in some ways you do that by hiring Jake Diebler too. Jake Diebler's a great story, and the fans got behind him as he was winning there at the end. So you're winning a press conference either way, probably. I was just surprised that they didn't make a big-time hire. And it's different. I know that they didn't when they hired Ryan Day. But to me, it's different because you weren't firing a coach it would have been like if they had fired John Cooper and then hired someone and then promoted someone on his staff to be the head coach. Mm-hmm. Like, why is this different than that? And that would have seemed bizarre, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's where I'm a little bit stuck. And I didn't want to lead with that because I think this needs to be about looking forward for Jake Diebler and what he could do for this program. I do. But I also think that as we're processing what this means for the athletic department, I want to know, you know, that's where, you know, Ross Bjork is going to have that sort of concept, because I don't think I'm alone in thinking those things. And that concept is going to be hanging out there as we watch what Jake Diebler does with this program in the next couple of years.
So this is not the first time Ohio State's done this. Obviously, you just mentioned the Ryan Day element of this. They actually, the basketball team did this as well with Fred Taylor, who showed up in 1959 as Floyd Stahl's assistant coach.
1959?
Just say, listen, I'm just giving some history here, man. It's just the history.
Well, that's ancient history. And like I said, Ryan Day is not the same thing. It's no, different it's when you're promoting someone who is on a successful program for a coach who's stepping aside.
Yeah.
That's different.
I'm just some history. Fred Taylor did it, and then his first year they won 11-11, and then his second year they ended up winning the national championship. The Ryan Day point is valid because with Ryan Day taking not only was he taking over a program who was historically successful, like they had one bad year in 20 years, and it's because of sanctions and because Luke Fickell got thrown into a position that nobody thought he was going to be in 24 months before he was thrown into that position. Everything that made that program successful structurally was still in place when Ryan Day took over. So his only job was to clean his house, right? And that was revamp the defensive coaching staff. Ryan Day, this offseason for Ryan Day has been kind of crazy with him having to make coaching hires and then make a coaching hire for the coaching hire he made and then having his running backs coach leave a week in the spring football. This is the craziest offseason Ryan Day's had in terms of having to make structural decisions about his program simply because it's crazy because he didn't have to make these. Jake Diebler is going to be having to make structural decisions about his program today, March 18th, as we're recording this pod, March 19th, as you're hearing this pod. It's a very different situation, which is what makes it a bigger swing. It's almost everything Ross Bjork said on Monday sounds good, but it's almost like you better be right in this idea that everything you needed already existed. You just had the wrong person driving the car. You better be right, because if not, we're going to look back in 2 or 3 years and it's just going to be the same thing where someone has a blue blood type program is what he said. So that's like it's a luxury car. Someone driving a luxury car like it's a Honda or some type of sedan or something like that. So 24 months from now, we're going to be looking at Ross Bjork thinking he's a genius, or every bit of skepticism that you have, Nathan, is going to come to fruition.
It's just, and I know there's people out there probably saying, oh, you mean an outside hire like Chris Holtmann? Because that didn't work out. And I get it.
Last time you hired someone from Butler, it did work out. So this is all 50-50 chances at the end of the day.
Right.
It's just, you know.
Yeah. I was surprised that it got to this place, because after those first couple wins, this was already starting to become a conversation on Twitter, at least. People, and I hope Ross Bjork didn't, I hope this wasn't an emotional thing. I hope he wasn't just swayed by public opinion, because I frankly don't think that matters in this case. Because public opinion is going to switch right back if they don't win. So, like, whatever the public opinion is in February and March of 2024 doesn't matter by April. And it certainly doesn't matter by November, December, and February of next year and in this, the next season. But as it was happening there, I was very much like, they can't possibly do this, right? Like, they have to take this opportunity. There's no program that's better resourced, no athletic department that's better resourced than Ohio State. There's no place where you can come with the combination of those resources and lack of insane pressure in some ways, if you understand what I'm saying. Like, I think a lot of places, those two things might go hand in hand. Like, oh yeah, you've got all the resources in the world, but that's why it's Ohio State football, frankly. But the pressure isn't the same for Ohio State basketball. I've always thought that you could come here and be a little bit protected. It's the best of both worlds. Like, you get all the benefit of the football money and not as much of the pressure. Now, obviously, at some point, you do have to win, as we saw with Chris Holtmann. I just thought that someone would see that as a big opportunity. They know what Thad Mata did here. They know what it was like. Chris Holtmann knew what it was like. That's why he thought that this was a job he couldn't turn down when it came his way 7 years ago, that it was a place that is potentially special in basketball if you get it right. And I'm not saying Jake Diebler can't be that person, but there's a lot of people who maybe could be that person. There's a lot of good young assistant coaches out there There's a lot of good older assistant coaches who've never had their shot really yet to do this. And I'm just surprised that they went this way. And I do think there is a little bit of risk here for Ross Bjork because, you know, look at what's happening, frankly, with Gene Smith on his way out. This should be sort of like a late career coronation. I know things haven't been great in football. Yes, the losses to Michigan, whatever. They sort of answered that in December and January. And overall, football has not fallen off the way basketball has fallen off. But, you know, you had basketball at a certain place. You had to fire Thad Matta. You replaced him. You extended that guy and then had to fire him 2 years later with a big buyout. Like that, basketball's trending down on his way out the door. I don't think you can possibly argue that only this last little bit like takes it back in the right direction. So these are the two hires that you're judged on. Football and basketball.
Yep.
Those are the two hires you're judged on. And it's more football than basketball at Ohio State. It's just there does feel like some risk in this to me. And I saw what seemed to be conviction from Ross Bjork today that he has the right guy. And that he was genuinely impressed with what he saw from Jake Diebler. It just makes me wonder how close they really got with anyone else and a name that would have like really surprised you. Obviously, what we were hearing, Dusty May was the one that you heard a lot about. Yep. Sean Miller, I thought, would have been a massive mistake. Maybe I'm just biased against NCAA sanctions, even if they wouldn't be sanctions anymore.
I'm with you.
So, I was, and there's plenty of other people. There were some other coaches who ended up, whose names we heard, who got extensions out of this. So good for them, I guess. I try not to go on a full ramble here, but I'm surprised that it got here. And I'm curious what this tells us about what Ross Bjork would do in a football situation.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. I think that's the biggest thing out of all of this is, and I think that's what I was trying to get at earlier. We're seeing his hiring practices. So what if Ryan Day leaves in the next 4 or 5 years? Which is not that crazy, right? To have been somewhere for a decade. I mean, that's what we've seen from the last two Ohio State head coaches here. They were here for almost a decade. So just for the sake of hypotheticals, if he leaves and Ross Bjork has to make a head coaching hire, how much of what we saw and how he handled this hire and these practices can we apply to what he would do if he had to hire Ohio State football's next head coach?
But I think the better, so if we're going to like play it out in our heads.
Cool.
If we're going to play it out in our heads, I believe this is about to be a counterfactual hypothetical I present, by the way. I don't think this is going to happen. But let's say, despite all of this roster retention, despite the transfer portal additions, Ohio State is just not good enough again this year. They lose at Oregon, and then they lose to Michigan again at home. And yeah, they're still making the playoff, but there's just a decision made that this has plateaued and it can't get over the edge. And they part ways with Ryan Day. So it's not just him leaving to go somewhere to coach in the NFL or to whatever. It's a separation happens.
Yep.
You promote Brian Hartline there, or do you do a national search for the best coach you can find?
I think if we're going to use what he did in real life as an example, there's like a 55% chance that I think how Brian Hartline would get promoted there because it would get the same reaction from fans, right? A lot of the fans would be excited about the hometown kid who has been, he's been like the golden child when it comes to Ohio State football recruiting and development and on-field performance. He played at Ohio State. He has a huge Ohio ties because he's from Canton, Ohio. Everything that you would say about Jake Diebler, you would say about Brian Hartline in that situation, probably times 10 because he's done it for even longer than Jake Diebler has done it, I think. Yeah, because he did it in 2019 as well. But yeah, I think I would be on alert that Brian Hartline would get this job and I would be like, I don't know about that one.
Yeah, and listen, it's as he said today, because he was asked a question about his prior hiring practices, I guess, at Ole Miss and Texas A&M, and how there wasn't really a history of doing in-house promotions in those cases. But every case is different, and I would hope that every case would be, you know, the decision would come to. But you look for trends, and we don't have trends yet for what Ross Bjork would do as the Ohio State AD. This is the first step towards setting a trend of how he will handle these situations going forward. A lot of the other major sports at Ohio State, the next tier of major sports, women's basketball is obviously doing great. Number two seed in the NCAA tournament. Hockey's in pretty good shape. I think volleyball's been solid. So I think things are going okay in some of those sports. So this may not be a thing that comes up soon in any of the like even sub marquee sports, but it just had me wondering, because we always have to be on alert for that. Like, what, how would he approach having to replace a coach he just fired? And I think the other X factor there, though, is we think of what the Ohio State brand in basketball can be and is occasionally. The Ohio State brand in football is in granite. Like, it just is that at all times. You don't have to worry about fluctuations in esteem and brand. It just always is what it is. And you always, I think, have to treat that job a little differently. So we're probably can't extrapolate yet. It's just a thing to keep in the back of your mind when this, if and when this ever comes up for him. And it will at some point. If he stays here as AD long enough, he will have to replace the football coach. I think it's unlikely just based on the hiring practices around all of sports that Ryan Day like outlasts him if he has a tenure that goes on for a while, but we'll see. Anyway, that was what I was just thinking about coming into today. I was trying to listen for things that would dissuade me from thinking those things, and I didn't. I still think those things. I still have some level of suspicion about hiring someone from within in these circumstances, but the powers that be at Ohio State are excited about Jake Diebler. The former players are excited about Jake Diebler. I imagine that there are players in this program that are excited about Jake Diebler, and that's what they get to build on going now into the offseason to prove the skeptics like me wrong. NIT game Tuesday night. Come to Cleveland.com/OSU for coverage of that, but also Tuesday day, Ohio State football practice resumes. We will not be watching practice on Tuesday, but we will be talking to Ryan Day about things such as Tony Alford, and that's about it. But I would imagine that would be most of the questions on Tuesday. So get the text 614-350-3315. As soon as those questions are asked, we will send you the answers. And anything else that comes up on as Ohio State resumes practice after spring break. For Stephen Means, I'm Nathan Baird, and that was Buckeye Talk.